This is a HeadGum Podcast.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Cheryl, we did it again.
Yeah.
Yep.
This is a fun one.
It's really fun.
It's sad and it's a funny tragedy.
Yeah, it's disturbing in ways. But, you know, if you like witches' hats, and we also talk jobs. About that. All right. Well,
I'm just saying it came up. Hi, good night, everybody. But it's true. That did come up.
Yes.
It's part of the story.
It's part of life, but we don't have to put that in the intro. We just scared off a lot of my fans.
No, they're intrigued.
Okay. All right. Listen, subscribe, give us a good rating and review, and share the show with your friends, right?
Yeah,
it's a good show.
It's a great show.
It all started when Tig and Cheryl met in the mid-2000s.
Hey, nice to meet you, Tig. I'm Cheryl Hines.
Hi, Cheryl. I'm Tig Notaro. Should we do a podcast about documentaries?
Yes.
A podcast about documentaries?
Is this microphone on?
Five furious frogs fiddling faintly. Furious frogs fiddling faintly. Five furious frogs fiddling faintly.
I am the first ever podcast. And Tig and Cheryl are following in the sound of my footsteps.
Let's get started.
I'm so ready.
Tig and Cheryl.
True story.
Cheryl, welcome to Tig and Cheryl True Story. Why are you laughing?
I don't know. It's already funny to me.
I know.
We're sitting in our closets and we're talking about documentaries is hysterical.
It's where life was headed. And we can see each other sitting in each other's closets.
Yeah.
In our own closets, not in each other's closet. Like, I'm
right.
Not in your closet.
That would be a lot of work for no good reason.
And dangerous in a pandemic. You don't want to go sit in someone's closet.
Mm-mm. Right? I don't need to be around your cooties.
Mm-mm. How Mm-mm. dare you? So, Cheryl, we have a good one.
We do. I cannot wait to talk about this. Fire, the greatest party that never happened.
Yes. Who turned you on to this documentary?
I don't even remember now. I just remember seeing it when it came out.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know a kid who, I can't remember if he went or if he was going to go.
Wait, you saw this when it came out or you just saw that it existed?
No, not when it was happening. Not when it was going down. It was not on my radar.
Right,
but when this documentary came out.
You saw it a while ago.
Yeah, and then I rewatched it
to
just, you know, live the magic one more time.
Yeah, it's really good. And it's very timely with, you know, political stuff going on.
Oh, it's my God. The parallels.
This is a tremendous documentary. Do you want to explain what it is exactly?
Okay, it is called Fire, the Greatest Party That Never Happened. It's a 2019 documentary about the planning and subsequent failure of the 2017 Fire Festival. A social media-driven event that was intended to be held in the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
The film, directed by Chris Smith, follows entrepreneur Billy McFarlane and the startup team behind Fire as the festival devolves into one of the biggest fiascos in event planning history. Oh, my God. And, you know, so just to, you know, if you haven't seen it.
Uh-huh. Which I have.
Which you have, but Tig, yeah. We don't know who's listening.
Right.
To the two
Nobody
people.
At this point. We haven't released the show yet. We're still a month away from our premiere. So for sure, not a single person is
not
listening.
Not a single person.
But hopefully when it comes out, it's going to be...
There will be five people listening. Yes. And maybe two of them haven't seen it yet.
Right.
So first of all, you should see it because for no other reason, it's beautiful.
It really is.
Because this guy... Billy McFarlane decides to have a music festival on a small island in the Bahamas, which sounds fine.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of planning that needs to go into a destination music festival on an island. There has to be infrastructure. People have to be able to use a toilet.
Yeah, there needs to be water, running water.
Running
you can't
water.
Just run out to the ocean and do your top secret
stuff.
Toilet business.
Well, I'm sure a lot of people did. Let's be honest. By the end
of
this
thing. I'm here to be honest about it.
For once, be honest.
Yeah.
So this guy, Billy McFarlane, it's interesting because he orchestrated a really smart team of people.
Yes, but you know, I have to say the whole time everyone keeps referring to how trustworthy he was, how people have worked with him, how he just seemed like the nicest guy. I felt like he had so many characteristics of somebody so full of it. Did you not feel that way?
Well,
no.
Yes, I did, but it's interesting. The interesting thing about leaders, right? So Billy was leading this group of people. He had clearly had resources. He had millions of dollars to use. He flew people around in private planes. He had yachts. He had camera crews. He had a technical team that built a whole, you know, a whole world for this fire festival. So people were following him and
that's fine because you know those kind of people can get something going, but when there starts to be and there's so many people that are full of it that get things done,
right? Because they're loud.
Yeah.
And they're confident.
But when the wheels start to come off, that's when
red flags should go up and people should take a step back and go, hey, whoa. So just so everyone knows, so he came up with this idea to have this multi-band music festival on a beautiful island in the Bahamas. And he hired like 250 influencers to post about it. He hired beautiful supermodels to come to the island. They shot footage of the most beautiful water you've ever seen. I mean, gorgeous girls.
No toilets in the footage.
Not
though.
One porta potty to be seen.
No.
Which was fine. I didn't miss it at the time. Only later in the movie are you like, whoa, where is the toilet?
Where are the potties? Yeah.
But it was pretty brilliant, the marketing for this.
Yeah. I remember reading about the festival. It didn't totally catch my eye, which I wish it had. For some reason, alligator attacks catch my eye.
I love alligator
in the news
attacks.
When I'm reading. Yeah. It's like a limbless alligator shows up to somebody's door.
And then you have to really pay attention to the details of a story like
I'm gonna
that.
I'm going to read that story.
Yeah. This story was broad.
Yeah, music festival gets canceled. Blink 182 pulls out of a music festival. I'm just skimming through
Right.
You know, I don't know what to tell you people. There's a limbless alligator at somebody's door in Florida.
Yeah.
I have another story to read.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we should just listen to the first ad for this that they, Billy McFarlane.
You love his name.
I do, because it sounds fake.
Billy McFarlane?
Yeah, I feel like it's something out of South Park.
Okay, Cheryl Hines.
Okay, let's look at this. Okay. We'll tell you what's happening in this clip.
Let's listen to it.
So you're seeing clips of supermodels
and bands,
and
ships
in the middle
boats.
Of the clearest, most beautiful blue water. The weekend.
Not a toilet in sight.
Not a toilet. They're swimming. Just they're walking. The private jet.
Private planes landing. There is a plane that's at the bottom of the ocean.
That was some foreshadowing.
That's not really inviting. If I would have seen this commercial and saw a plane that had crashed in the water.
You would have pulled the plug
immediately? I would have lost a little bit of faith in this.
So when they decided to announce the Fyre Festival, mm-hmm. they had all of these influencers post a burnt orange tile on their social media tagging the yep. Fyre Festival. And then people were very curious what that was because there were 250 of them. And people were wondering what that meant. And then when they went to look up Fyre Festival on the internet, that's what they saw. They saw this amazingly beautiful experience.
Yes.
And they were so intrigued. They sold out 95% of their tickets within the first 48 hours.
Is this something where if you saw this while it was happening, would you be curious to go?
Well,
is this something that appeals to you?
If I were young, like I'm not at all interested in swimming around with the, well, I am interested in swimming around with the pigs in the Bahamas. Although that's another story.
We haven't even mentioned the pigs.
I know. You can't just jump in
right here and say, I am interested in swimming with pigs.
Because it's adorable.
Because I asked if you, this festival would have interested you, and our listeners, when they do come, mm-hmm. are going to think, why would Cheryl say, yeah. I am interested in swimming with pigs?
Because in that video, there was something for mm-hmm. everyone. So if you've never been swimming in the ocean with cute pigs, you got to see supermodels swimming around with the pigs.
One of my favorite lines from the movie.
yeah.
Just casually dropped.
Yeah.
You know, if we want to fly to see a pig, we see a pig.
Yeah.
That's Ja Rule said that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. So Ja Rule was also
one of the producers.
Part of this. Yes. And they did. And by the way, this is, you know, off beat, if you will, but I mm-hmm. went to the Bahamas sure. not that long ago. And
how long ago?
A year.
Okay.
And yeah. we really wanted to swim with the pigs. Mm-hmm. But then when we found out more about the pigs and how they, because pigs don't normally swim in the ocean.
Really?
I don't know if you know that or not. So they have no. to, you know, sort of...
They're not part of marine life, you're saying?
Not normally.
Okay, so tell us what happened.
So Gabby, my friend uh-huh. Gabby and I looked it up because we wanted to make sure, you know, they weren't harming the pigs and this was...
Sure.
And, you know, they're not treating the pigs like pigs should be treated.
You're saying they're taking pigs out of mud puddles and putting them in an ocean.
Yeah, yeah. So they wait, yeah. you know, they wait for them to get hungry enough to, they put water and or food in the water and then they swim to eat it.
Whose idea was this? This is,
I don't know. It's kind of sad. Anyway, that's another documentary I'm sure we'll delve into. If it hasn't been made, perhaps.
You and I could make it.
Yes, we go to the Bahamas immediately. But anyway, it looks good, is what I'm saying. But should you be doing it?
You know, when you say it looks good, frankly, when I saw a pig in the ocean, I thought, this does not look good.
Oh.
That wouldn't draw me into the water.
Oh,
if somebody was
me.
Like, here, come, there's some pigs. I love a pig.
Yeah, but you want them on land.
But, yeah, I don't understand a cloven hoof in the water.
Well.
Four cloven hooves.
Yeah.
Trying to swim.
Yeah. Well, that's why I'm intrigued by it. Because uh-huh. it's like seeing a unicorn.
it's very different.
It's similar, but different. It's similar, but different. Okay. So this whole thing, what's it? I mean, listen, it's all interesting. But I love the pilot.
Uh-huh.
They have this pilot that's flying them around in this small plane.
I really liked him.
He seemed like a an upstanding, straight up guy.
Normal.
Mm-hmm. And then you find out that he got his pilot's license from
an app
online, Microsoft Flight Simulator.
To be very honest with you, when that was said in the documentary, I immediately picked up my phone and Googled Flight Simulator on Microsoft.
Because you want to be a pilot?
Well, I just thought, why wouldn't I just get this and watch it? And then if there is some sort of emergency, how incredible. I don't know if I told you, but I am getting, okay. And this is true, right now I am studying to be a certified plant-based nutritionist.
Oh,
and
I like
so
that.
Why not add to my resume. Certifications?
Oh, certifications.
Framed certifications. Mm-hmm. One of them being my GED from childhood that my cat ate half of, okay. And it's framed on the wall. I hope in a few weeks I will have a plant-based nutritionist certification. Mm-hmm. And then why not?
Pilot.
I don't know if you get a certification for.
I'm sure you get some sort of document.
You're sure?
I feel positive. I mean, I'm sure right now I could Google something and get you a flight certification.
We don't have time.
Okay. Anyway.
Okay.
So this should have been a red flag.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are so many red flags in this where you feel like, okay.
The pigs were holding red flags.
So now they're the whole, you know, this guy, Billy McFarlane. He's such a fascinating character because it's almost like when you're planning something that's huge, that's bigger than life, you have to, there have to be so many variables that you don't know about that you have to have blind faith in that I will solve that problem when we get there. So you want your leader to have this, don't worry about it. I am going to take care of it. We're going to figure it out.
And, you know, this is something you might... Oh, you do know this about me. I produce a festival every year in D.C.
Yes.
The Benson Ball.
Yes.
And so I have produced, with the help of many, many hardworking, talented, amazing people. And I don't... When I say produce, I do not do anything near what they are doing. But so many talented, capable people working so hard. And this is a comedy festival that I do in D.C. They have toilets. They have venues. Everything's already built. And we start 9 months out from opening night. These people started, what, 3 months? 3 months out. And for our festival every year, it's still, you know, we start with our monthly calls, it gets to weekly calls, and then it gets to just nonstop texting and emailing as it's getting up to showtime. And it's a whole situation.
It's work. It's a lot of work that has to be taken seriously. And when you're watching this documentary and you see Billy literally passed out on the beach with beer in his hand in the middle of the day.
That's your leader.
That's your leader. And everybody's like, I know, but he's passionate.
And what blew my... I mean, the whole time I'm watching it, I'm just thinking all of these people have nervous diarrhea
every second.
I mean, there had to have been just constant nervous diarrhea going on.
Right, because you had very intelligent people saying, hey, 1 second. Can we just talk about this in a real way for 1 minute? Where are people going to sleep? And Billy's like, hey, no negative energy.
Right. I mean, the sketches of where
the villas
they would be, the villas, what they've paid for, prepaid for, and then what actually.
Right, because these kids.
Hurricane tents with air mattresses on the floor.
Oh.
That was incredible.
So people know. So when this hit the internet, people bought tickets, right? So they have paid their money.
How much money? A lot of money.
Yeah, like $3,000 a person. It was a lot of money. So Billy McFarlane used that money to have more private planes and
but there were also
yachts.
some people were paying $50,000, right?
Right, for an exclusive.
Yeah, for private homes and yachts.
And
all sorts of things that
Kendall,
didn't
what's her name?
Exist.
Right. Right.
They weren't coming. There was no, and it was also overlapping a weekend that was their busiest week. It was like the same.
It was a regatta. It was a big boat festival with a boat race.
There was no play. There were no backup plans for people to stay anywhere.
And Billy did not want to get bogged down.
Billy who?
McFarland.
That's
right.
He
did not want to get bogged down with details about.
No.
You know, where people
stay. He had a festival to produce.
So you're watching this and it's like some people, like the pilot.
Uh-huh.
The pilot says, hey, I know this island very well and there's no infrastructure for this.
Right.
And if you think that people are going to stay in a tent, my wife and I stayed in a tent last night just to see if it could be done. And it was loud. We were eaten alive by mosquitoes. And it's just not what people think that they're going to be doing here.
It's not worth the money.
It's not.
To be in a hurricane tent.
And you know what happened to the pilot, Tig?
What happened?
He was fired.
That's right.
Billy let him go because of all the negative energy that he was bringing.
Well, and, you know, as we mentioned before, I think we started recording, you know, this is the point where when Stephanie and I are watching this, she said, oh, my God, this guy's like Trump, essentially.
Well,
yeah.
Because he's promising people things that aren't there, but mm-hmm. doing it in such a loud way and so sure of himself.
Confident.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that a normal person would think, oh, okay, well, he can't go online and offer people a private yacht with Kendall Jenner if that's mm-hmm. not really available. So, yeah, I want to do it. So people
see, the thing about me is if I did buy a yacht with Kendall Jenner, mm-hmm. I don't know what she looks like. So you could put anyone on the yacht with me.
And
I would think,
this is great.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I would be posting selfies of me and Kendall Jenner. And then people would be writing on my Instagram.
It's like that's the crew working on the yacht.
And everybody would say, that's not Kendall Jenner. Dum-dum.
So, listen. So now, you know, time is, it's getting real.
Uh-huh.
They actually had to move. Their first island idea was a little island that Pablo Escobar had owned. Mm-hmm. And the Escobar people said, whatever you do,
shut your trap
about Pablo Escobar. And so Billy McFarland,
leave it to him. Guess what he did?
He advertised it.
Announces it right away.
No. Escobar people said, okay, go F yourself.
Cheryl,
get off our
wow.
island.
I know. My goodness.
And so they had to go to a different island, and they ended up at Exuma. Is that right? And which is beautiful.
But the portion of it where they were staying was
not an island.
No.
It was not an island. Even though they told people they had their
friends. I mean, let's be honest. Every landmass in the world is an island of sorts. You could make the argument. You know, you are afloat
right.
in the ocean.
Right.
Right.
That's right. So,
yeah.
Okay.
So, it's an
we'll
island.
We'll overlook that.
Yeah. It's an island.
And so, and now there's no place for people to stay. All they have, even though they've sold people like these exclusive villas, there are none.
There aren't any.
There are no. There's like you said, no running water.
Were there even pigs in the water at this point?
No. The pigs
no
are
pigs.
On another island.
Yeah, they're.
They can't have that experience.
Right.
So
you're essentially flying there to stay in a hurricane tent.
Right.
With a bunch of other people.
Right. And that, listen, and this is what some of them kept saying during the documentary. If that's what the experience is, let's just tell people that. Because I'm sure there would be a lot of young kids that would think, you know what? I want to do that. I mean, look at all of these festivals. Look at Coachella. That's not
You know what? Leave Benson
fancy.
Ball out of it, okay? We put people in nice hotels We pick everyone up from the airport.
Bread and water.
Everyone gets paid.
So anyway, so now things are getting serious. Mm-hmm. And listen, there are a lot of parts of this story that are so tragic.
Yeah.
Especially the locals.
Yes.
That are working day and night.
I mean, the team that they kept dragging into this.
And at first they paid them.
Then they stopped.
And then they stopped. And after the festival, we're going to pay you. And then they had a catering company that was going to cater. And
Oh my gosh.
What was it, a week before? 2 weeks before? A week before.
Yeah.
Billy McFarlane
fired
them.
Mm-hmm.
So they had no food service.
When you open your styrofoam packaging, there is a piece of
cheese. Bread.
And bread and some lettuce in there.
Yeah.
And you've paid for... You've paid for not a piece of cheese.
They thought there
some
was going to be sushi and lots of... I mean, yeah. They had... But, okay.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite parts in this documentary.
Yeah.
So there's a guy named Andy.
Uh-huh.
Who had worked with Billy for years. And
I felt like I knew Andy. Didn't he feel very familiar to you?
You know why? I realized halfway through. Huh. He looks like Steve Martin. I know.
That's not true.
It's true. No, it is true.
Steve Martin, the comedian.
Yes, looks like Andy.
Actor.
What's his name? Yes.
Writer.
I'm telling you. So...
Okay.
So, Andy.
You could have been on a yacht with Andy and posting pictures of you and Steve Martin. You know what I'm saying?
And I'm saying, look who I'm hanging out with.
Yeah,
hey,
exactly.
Steve, what a crazy guy. And it's Andy. Look. Tell me those aren't similar. We're looking at pictures of both of them.
Hey, man.
I'm telling you, their personalities are not at all similar.
They have gray hair.
They
anyway,
have
go ahead.
Hair. They're white guys. Okay. Anyway, so now it's happening, right? Mm-hmm. Thousands of people are getting ready to come to this island, and there's no water, and mm-hmm. the water is being held up at customs.
Yes.
Because you have to, the customs.
And we're talking bottled water.
We're talking bottled water, and we're talking about freight crates of
freight
bottled
crates.
Water. So customs is saying, in order to allow this in, you guys mm-hmm. have to pay us $175,000.
Right.
And so, that's my favorite part.
I love Andy, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
He is so funny.
So Billy calls Andy.
Yes. Like any good leader and asks.
And by the way, one of the things that I truly love about this documentary is that Andy was very forthcoming.
Yep.
Telling this story, I don't know that I would.
Ooh, an insight into you, Cheryl. You'd keep a tight lip. All right.
So Billy calls Andy and says, look, head of customs is a gay man.
Mm-hmm.
And you're a gay man.
Yes.
And in order to save this festival.
Yeah, it's all on Andy.
I need you to do me a favor. And then, Thomas, can we roll what happened?
Billy called and said, Andy, we need you to take one big thing for the team. And I said, oh my gosh, I've been taking something for the team every day. He said, well, you're our wonderful gay leader. And we need you to go down. Will you suck dick to fix this water problem? And I said, Billy, what? He said, Andy, if you will go down and suck Cunningham's dick, who's the head of customs, and get him to clear all of the containers with water, you will save this festival. And I literally drove home, took a shower. I drank some mouthwash. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm really, and I got into my car across the island to take one for the team. And I got to his office fully prepared to suck his dick. But he couldn't have been nicer. And he's like, Andy, listen, I will release all the water. I will let you serve it, but I want to be one of the first people to be paid this import fee for what you're doing. And I said, okay, great. And I got back and I had all the water that we needed.
Wow. Andy saved the day. That would have been a $175,000 blowjob.
Wow, you're good with math. Cheryl, how did you crunch those numbers so quickly?
I mean, all of that fascinates me.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess I'm, you know, I'm fascinated that this guy went and, you know, swished around
with mouthwash.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that was very kind of him. Like,
he seems like a kind man. I would be very devastated to find out Andy's a jerk. But I hope that's not true. Andy, if you're listening.
Oh, I've met him at a party. I've met him out.
No.
I have.
You've met Andy?
Yes.
How did you meet Andy?
It must have been a fundraiser or something. He was very, you know, nice.
Was he like classic Andy?
I didn't get into it with him, although I wanted to.
Yeah.
But I felt like this is not the time and the place to like ask him about the mouthwash and the water.
Yeah. The mouthwash. That's how you would approach it. Oh, listen, I wanted to talk to you about the mouthwash and the water.
Why would he repeat this story?
Oh,
I mean,
it
makes him very human and it's very sweet, but holy cowballs. This is what was going on. So Billy was manipulating all of these people.
Yes.
And people are saying, hey, there's somebody there on the island who is releasing pictures of what's really happening online.
It was probably the pigs. The pigs are probably just...
We really do need to go save the pigs.
They were probably just waving their cloven hooves wildly. Just SOS.
They're just like, pigs don't swim. Anybody? Yeah. Does anybody recognize that?
Pigs. Yeah, when pigs swim, that's going to be the new saying.
When pigs swim.
Yeah, yeah, I'll do that. And then people will go to the Bahamas. Yeah.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
If you like a good murder mystery story, you'll love June's Journey. A free hidden object mobile game where Detective June Parker unravels the mystery of her sister's death. Travel back to the beautifully illustrated 20s, find clues, discover hidden objects, and watch the story unfold with new chapters released weekly. Put your detective skills to the test. Download June's Journey on Android or iOS or play online via Facebook games.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
They do. So now somebody's posting, starting a fire fraud social media, and nobody's paying attention to it.
Yeah. Well, that guy tried to start that Twitter account.
Yeah.
And he said he got like 2 clicks. And
yeah. So it's happening. Everybody is getting very nervous except Billy.
Billy McFarlane. He's Billy McFarlane.
Yes.
You need to mention the last name so people aren't confused about...
He's still smoking cigars and drinking lots of beer and shots. And Ja Rule is also running around drinking shots.
This couldn't have been good for Ja Rule's career.
It couldn't have been.
No, it could. I'm no fool. It couldn't have been. It absolutely could not. There's no way his reps and PR people were saying, this is great.
And what's interesting is now the countdown is like 5 days.
Oh, my God. Then we're getting nervous diarrhea at home watching this. Stephanie was squealing.
Oh,
my God.
Because you feel like, what is going to happen? Something's got to happen.
You have an idea of what's going to happen.
But you feel like Billy McFarland must know something. We don't know. Like,
no. No.
And then here's what's interesting, what I found very interesting. Have you ever heard, I was listening to NPR.
Ooh.
Yes.
An intellectual.
Smart. And they had someone on who was talking about people that are able to lie to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really lie to themselves. And she said that sometimes it's athletes can do it.
Mm-hmm.
An athlete can tell themselves, you are going to win this. You're going to win this race in the Olympics. And they believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And they, so sometimes people have the ability to lie to themselves. I don't have that.
So it's beyond just a positive pep talk to yourself.
Right. It is Billy McFarland, for whatever reason, thought this was going to work out.
I mean, I've felt like at different points in this pandemic, I relate in the way that I've said, Tig, listen, this time you'll be able to cut your hair evenly with plastic toddler scissors.
Mm-hmm.
This time,
but
nobody...
Was it more hopeful, or did you feel like, yeah, when I walk out the door and I have that haircut, it's going to look...
Well, I don't walk
plastic.
Out the door. There's a pandemic going on.
Mm-hmm. So yours... You can lie to yourself in very low stakes.
Yeah, I can. But my hair is very important to me, so it's actually kind of high stakes.
It's high stakes.
Yeah.
But other people...
They're doing bigger lies.
Yeah. I mean, if it involved other people's livelihood, would you be able to lie to yourself?
No.
Yeah. When other people are involved, it gets really...
Oh, my gosh.
Look at Bernie Madoff. This is like, what was he thinking?
How you is know? That his last name? How?
Madoff with the money. I never even made that connection until this moment.
Yeah. Every time I hear his name, are you kidding me? His last name is Madoff.
It's Madoff.
Yeah.
But same thing, right? He knew didn't know that one day this would all catch up with him. He just thought.
It's just that. I mean, you're a gambler. You're a crazed gambler.
I am
gambler.
A gambler.
And so that's what, this is a very high stake gamble. And you're gambling with other people's money, their lives.
This is more of a manipulation than a gamble, in my opinion. If I go to Vegas, I know, if I put $50 on black, I could win money, but I could lose that $100 that I just put out there.
Right.
But I'm not manipulating other people. Mm-hmm. I didn't ask some guy for his $100. And that's like saying, I am going to make you $100 right now. Give me $100 right now. I know exactly what to do with it. I'm going to put it on black and black is going to win.
You've said that to me before. This sounds familiar, actually.
I mean, listen, could I do it? Probably, but I
you're
don't.
Pretty gamble. You're a pretty good gambler.
No, I love, but with my own money.
Yeah.
I'm not going to gamble with somebody else's money.
All right.
But I also know that I could lose.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like
you're not going to lie to yourself in that.
I can't lie to myself. Mm-hmm. I would. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I wish I could.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what would you lie to yourself about if you could lie to yourself and truly believe it?
Tig, you are going to really blow everyone's minds with this acting job you're about to do. You are going to be so incredible.
Well, that's not really a lie. That's a positive. That's doing The Secret. Remember The Secret? That book that came out 20 years ago?
Just take one second. Just take one second and imagine... walking into a room and I'm reading The Secret. Do you think that happened? Do you think that happened? For as many years as you've known me, do you think you'd ever walk into a room and see me snuggled up reading The Secret?
Well, maybe. If everybody was talking about it, you might pick it up and go, what is this about?
No, I wouldn't pick. I would ask people, what are you talking about? What is... I would
and
talk
by the
to
way,
people.
You don't have to read the book because it's boiled down to one sentence. Whatever you want to happen in the universe, you just put it out there.
Did you write the Cliff's Note for The Secret?
And then the universe works its way to fulfill.
Listen, you're going
to
sell me on the book. I'm not interested, okay?
Okay, anyway.
I'm reading a book about how hormones affect your health, okay?
Wow.
That interests
me. Not as sexy. Okay.
Well, I'm also not trying to attract you, Cheryl.
Well, if you feel like you want to attract me, you should read The Secret, and then you'll know how...
Hello, Cheryl! I'm in here!
To lure me into your closet.
I'm in here! And you come follow the voice, and I'm snuggled up with my cat reading The Secret.
Reading The Secret.
Mm-mm. Okay.
And what? Okay. So anyway, back to the festival.
Yeah. Sorry to bother you.
So now now it's happening.
Yes.
Now these young people that they've been going to the gym to work out for the fire festival. They want to look good. They've packed their luggage. They've been thinking about this. Oh, and at some point, Billy ran out of money.
Really?
So in order to raise money quickly, which is what he's good at, he sends everybody that's going to the fire festival an email saying, oh, you should buy these wristbands right now.
What is it, $3,000 or $6,000, something like that?
And
At the very least, put that much on.
Yes, and then you won't use money for anything. This is going to be a way to pay for your things with this little bracelet.
Yeah.
And he raised $750,000 like that.
That's our Billy.
I mean, it fascinates me, but the balls that guy has.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I do, but that's disgusting.
Yeah, no.
Let's not bring that up.
Okay, so now they're coming in. The kids are coming in.
People are showing up. They have suitcases.
They thought they were going to fly on these beautiful private planes.
Yeah, they're crammed into Southwest Airlines.
Yes.
No offense, Southwest.
No.
You exist and you
serve a purpose.
Yeah, you serve a purpose.
And everybody knows what they're getting. Yeah, it's like
nobody's,
no frills.
Nobody's on Southwest flying in that reverse seat that they have thinking, what is this, a private jet? And then the terrible humor that comes from the Southwest flight attendant.
They have to entertain themselves.
No, please.
I enjoy
anyway,
it.
I remember one of the pilots also on Southwest was like, to the left is the Grand Canyon, and to my right is my ex-wife on a broom.
Oh, no.
Yes. I was just like, please, just get me safely to Fire Festival.
That would make me laugh. Okay. So they land.
Yeah.
There, you know, there's like a school bus type of bus that takes...
It's a school bus. And they get picked up. All their luggage is put into some big metal container. There's no tags, no help with locating your bag. They dump you off at a bar where people are just pouring tequila and vodka in your mouths. And then the crate shows up and there's just basically just mayhem trying to find your bags. They have nowhere to go.
Right. At some point, all of these young adults, we'll call them kids, started out very, very sweet. Billy was in this house.
McFarlane
was in this house, sort of holed up in this house. And all of these kids line up. They're in a giant line to go talk to Billy to say, oh, hey, Billy, there must be some mistake because I was supposed to get the villa. So
right.
they're, you know.
And their school bus passed where they were going to be staying, and they thought for sure behind this hurricane
camp. There's got to be the villas.
Yeah.
And at some point, Billy comes out of his blue house and says, hey, everybody, those hurricane emergency tents are your tents. And nobody's nobody's assigned to them. So just find one and make yourself
thank us later. Oh, wait. Most importantly, before everyone arrived, there was a huge thunderstorm and all of the tents and mattresses were flooded. Were you going to throw to a clip?
Yeah, let's see. What do we have? So here are some of the kids describing what happened.
There was a disbelief on the bus. A lot of people thought that, oh, you know, maybe we're passing through this area. You know, our villas are just on the other side.
And it was the bus driver who said, oh, no, that's where you're staying. It was like, oh, my God.
We didn't want neighbors. Our strategy from there was to kind of ransack all the tents around us. Just started poking holes and flipping mattresses. And my buddy pissed on a few of the beds.
That really threw me off.
That you're following along, everything's fine. That threw you off.
Well, I thought that guy, it was like, okay, we all had to fight for our mattresses and find a tent. But this guy with the extra mile, because he didn't want anybody in the neighboring tents, which, by the way, these tents were like 4 feet apart.
Mm-hmm.
He and his friends peed on the tents next to theirs.
Sure.
So people wouldn't sleep in them.
Yeah.
What's happening? What is happening at that fire festival?
Cheryl? It all makes sense to me.
There's no food. Thank God for Andy, because there was
water. It was all men urinating. There's no way you'd walk up and see a woman crouching over a mattress and doing the little lady squat.
I don't even think that.
Is that what it's called? The little lady squat?
That's what it's called now. The old little lady squat.
Not the old little lady.
Oh,
it's
young.
The little lady squat.
But I don't even think a woman. I'm generalizing, but I don't think that would come to mind.
Mm-mm.
You know, if it's in the middle of the night, you're in the Bahamas, everything's muddy.
That's a guy thing.
Yeah, and it's like, I don't think a woman would be like, first things first, let's pee in the tent next door before we do anything.
Yeah, that's like a guy, like, all right, we got to make a fire. We got to urinate on everything. We got to, you know, there's not going to be a little lady squat, you know?
It was so weird to me. I was totally with that guy while he was talking until he said that. And then I was like, oh, plus, listen, nothing against selfie sticks, but did he have a selfie stick?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think he was shooting the whole thing with a selfie stick, which is...
Well, I mean, he's going to Fire Festival. He's thinking some stuff is going to go down. And how crazy that they had all of that footage. That is the other thing.
I mean, what was Billy McFarland thinking? That these kids are going to show up without phones? That they're not going to videotape this?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know... That's just one issue with our Billy McFarland. It's
well, needless to say, all of the bands canceled.
Uh-huh.
The kids got there. Uh-huh. There's no food or water. Yeah, so that picture that you described with the cheese and the bread and the lettuce, that went viral.
Yes.
And that's when everybody back in the mainland was like, holy balls.
Yep.
Do not go. Oh, yeah. Don't go to this festival. This is what they're serving.
Unless you want one piece of cheese, a piece of bread, and a lettuce.
But by the way, I like that that's the thing. That's where all the people were like, uh-uh. Not with a picture of that cheese and bread. Like, what happened? All the pictures of the weird tents and the muddy, and there's no electricity.
Blink 182 canceled.
None of that mattered, but when they saw a picture of the bread and the cheese in a little container, they were like, I am not getting on a plane.
No can do. I am not getting on a Southwest Airlines flight to go eat a piece of cheese without Blink 182.
No. And then so everybody, you know, went home. They were they were stranded there because there were not enough flights out. And now the Bahamians were very upset.
Left high and dry, not paid, mistreated. It was really, really horrific what was done.
Really? It was just, I mean, you couldn't believe that this guy.
And the sweetest people, too.
I know. They worked so hard.
Yeah.
And the woman in the documentary who was really
cooking and.
Yeah, she was cooking for everybody and really explaining to us how it happened. You know, these were, it was all in goodwill. Mm-hmm. They were told that this.
Yeah.
That this festival was going to happen every year for the next 6 years at least. So, so now everybody's furious. Andy flees the island. Billy flees the island.
Yes.
People are now suing Billy. Billy was arrested, put in jail, then got out of jail on bond.
Started a new company.
Which was also a fraudulent company.
With the email addresses of the fire.
All the people that,
that bought tickets to Fyre Festival.
So now he's selling people tickets to the Grammys, tickets to sports.
And people are buying them.
People are still buying them. And he's filming it.
Yeah.
He has a camera crew filming him doing this.
He's a psychopath. Billy, if you are listening, and I know you are,
well,
you're a what? No, Billy, he's listening.
Oh, you can listen in prison. So Billy is in prison now.
Yeah.
You know this.
Yeah.
And I mean, listen.
I hope he gets help.
Oh, I hope he gets help. I thought you were going to say something else because I just read that he has COVID in prison. Not that, listen, I don't wish that on anybody.
Oh,
but,
I didn't know that.
But, you know, I'm sure there are people that read that that think, oh, well, now you know how it feels to be hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it doesn't make people feel better, but.
What if we ended right when you said what it feels like to be hurt? And then that was just the end of the episode.
Well, I mean, and this guy is going to get out in, what, 6 years or something. And you know that he's going to end up doing this again.
Not Billy McFarlane. He's going to be on the straight and narrow from here on out.
He's going to change his name.
To what?
Zilly McFarlane? Because there is
Zilly Zilly McFarlane.
Nobody will ever.
He'll drop like 10 pounds. That's the thing that confuses me when people are on the run.
Yeah.
Why don't you do massive just weight gain or just drop a lot of weight?
Yeah.
You know?
Change your hair.
Put a wig on.
Mm-hmm.
Grow a full beard, male or female.
Well, by the way, this guy not only did not do that, but filmed himself doing exactly what put him in prison to begin with.
Yeah, he's not bright. Everybody just, this is not a bright
this
decision
is a
making.
Wake up call.
This is very similar to somebody running our country, okay?
Yes.
It will continue and continue and continue.
Yes, just because somebody speaks loudly and confidently does not mean that it's going to happen or they know what they're doing.
People should vote. This is a reminder.
People
should vote.
People are going to vote.
This was a phenomenal documentary.
It is so fascinating. So after all of this happened, there were tons of lawsuits. And people were suing not only Billy McFarlane, but the tech company that helped do it.
The supermodels.
The supermodels. And, you know, these supermodels were paid to do an ad. So are they responsible for what the product was?
No.
No. No, Tig. And as a matter of fact, now when you do an ad on social media, you put hashtag advertisement or
because
ad.
Of this
so people
festival.
Know because of this festival. Because it's like, if you're doing an ad for the, and they say this in the documentary, if you do an ad for a car and then the car breaks down, are you, Tig, the supermodel, responsible for that person's car breaking down?
As a supermodel, I have been responsible for a lot of
mechanics, of
mechanical mishaps. And you know that, Cheryl, okay?
I do. I just wanted to hear you say it in front of all the listeners. Did you hear, like, the follow-up of what happened with the Bohemian lady?
What happened?
Well, the one that ended up cooking for all of the people, and she ended up spending her life savings trying to help make this festival happen. After this documentary aired, there was a GoFundMe page for her.
Yes.
And it raised like $185,000.
That's it? Oh. I mean, that's good.
I was impressed with
That's
that.
Good.
That's
but
it?
But I feel like GoFundMe, you know, I love those examples where you find out or you check in one day and you go back and then it's like 8 million, you know.
Well, I'm sorry you're disappointed.
That's okay.
In that number, I thought it was, I was impressed with it, but I guess 8 million would be better.
Yeah, I feel like she deserved 8 million.
She does.
A lot of those workers. I mean, what about the other workers? Did they have a GoFundMe?
I know. What about the guy? I don't know. What about the guy that was being
interviewed?
Why'd
you do that?
I don't know. Forget about it. I don't know. Check with the people. What about the guy that was being interviewed and Billy McFarland called him during the interview?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he was like, hey, Billy. Like, wow. You guys
pretty
are
casual
really...
here.
Wow. That's forgiving. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Have you heard the news?
That he's in
jail.
Yeah,
or that he's Billy McFarland. I feel bad for anyone who's listening who's named Billy McFarland and isn't this particular Billy McFarland. It's like the people named Karen now, you know?
I know.
I know so many
that
great
is a
Karens.
Tough name.
Yeah.
It really does suck for Karens.
I wish we had come up with a different name or one that is from
like Mildred or
something.
Well,
that was my grandmother. And you know that, Cheryl. You know, these old names are so funny when I think about somebody holding a newborn and saying, and we'll name her Mildred. You know, and you're looking
little
at
Mildred.
Little tiny baby Mildred.
Yeah.
My grandmother, yeah, she was born in the woods of literally in the woods of Mississippi.
Okay. Oh, Mildred?
Yeah, I'm off track, but...
Ew, and you know, my grandmother's name was Ruth. So that's also a
we'll
strange...
name her Ruth. Mildred Ruth.
Mildred? Aw, you're pulling a Mildred Ruth.
I feel like Ruth is more used. Mildred, nobody names their child Mildred anymore.
Mm-mm.
But
although, Rachel just named her son Otto.
I know, but that's
old school.
It is, but it's
for
also
a baby?
Very East Side
Sweet.
Cool.
Oh, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. It seems like an old soul type of a
Otto,
3-year old named Otto.
Otto and Mildred are coming over to churn butter. Stephanie and I always speak to each other like that around the house. Whenever I bring Enviro logs in, which are these environmentally friendly logs to burn in the fireplace, I'll come in through the side door with the logs and she'll say, come in, come out of the cold, we must get you by the fire and warm your feet, take off your boots.
Your kids must be so confused. Like, do all parents do comedy bits every time they come in the door?
I don't think they know we're doing comedy bits.
No, that's the problem. They're going to think that every time they go to somebody's house, they've got to come in with a crazy voice.
Come sit down. Let me brush the snow off your shoulder. Give me your coat. I'll hang it by the fire.
These boys are going to have so much trouble dating. It's like, it's a prom. Why are you doing the weird voice?
Can I ask
a question?
Yes.
Why wouldn't all logs be environmentally safe?
Why wouldn't every be environmentally safe?
Well, I mean, it's a tree.
No, but this is made of recycled.
Oh, like a man-made.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or woman-made. Okay. Let's not be sexist about.
Person-made.
Yes.
Handmade. Well, nobody's making it by hand.
Non-binary made logs.
By Mildred and Otto.
And Otto. Come, come in from the cold.
Come in from the cold.
We're just heating up some water on the kettle.
Okay, listen.
Okay.
I don't mean to shut down your bit, but people have things to do.
Oh, yeah, right.
Anyway, that was the Fire Festival
documentary. Thank you for suggesting it. It was so, so good.
It's exciting to watch. Isn't it beautiful? I mean, it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. No, we already went over that.
No, but I want to leave it on a nice, beautiful blue water note.
Come, let's fly to the Bahamas. We must.
By the way, you sound like a witch from all the fairy tales where it's like, oh, and then we ran into the crazy witch in the woods. Is that what you're going for?
No. I don't know which son of mine asked me the other day, why are witches' hats pointed? Mm. I don't have an answer to that. Why must we know? I don't know. Mm.
That's a good question. Oh, I feel like it's so things don't land on their heads.
All right, let's end there.
I mean, it's like,
I
why
said,
are
let's
roofs,
end there.
Why are roofs pointed?
Cheryl.
So the snow
Cheryl,
doesn't
I'm gonna
pile
click
up.
End recording. Leave session. Where is the button? We don't really need to get an answer of why witches' hats are pointed. But
I think it's. It must be for a reason. So,
Or not.
Okay.
Cheryl.
And wait, is that what you tell him? Don't worry about it. That's your parental
actually,
answer?
If I'm completely honest with you, when Stephanie is not around, I say you should ask mommy why. So they take the annoying question to her.
She comes home and she's just bombarded with ridiculous questions.
Well, she really struck. She's so smart. And she, I mean, 4.1 type student, okay?
Nice.
Struggles with definitions and explanations of what things are. And I always stop in my tracks every time and listen to how she's going to explain what everything is. So I hope to catch her explanation of why a witch's hat is pointed.
Mm-hmm. Just wait till you have to explain.
I thought you were going to say, well, wait till you have kids. And I was going to say.
You just wait till you have kids.
I have them.
I remember explaining sex. At a very
it's
early
for another
age,
episode.
And I was trying to do it very clinically, so it wouldn't sound interesting, trying to shut it down about fallopian tubes. And
yeah.
And she's like, oh, which means what? It's like, okay. Because she,
how old was she?
She was, she was probably 7.
We
went to
Cheryl.
She went to a baby shower.
Uh-huh.
And she was like, I don't understand how that baby is going to get from inside her belly to outside. And I was like, that's, our bodies are made for it. Don't worry about it. But how? Right.
But wait. Okay, go ahead.
So I started trying to explain it the best way I could. And my daughter was like, I don't want to wake up one day and be pregnant. And I said, don't worry about that. That does not happen. It only happens if you intentionally try to get pregnant. You don't just wake up pregnant. She's like, what do you mean? And I said, well, it involves two people. And you have to, and I kept trying to just shut it down. Like, don't, these are things we'll worry about later. And she's like, listen, I'm probably not even going to understand what you're about to say, but just keep talking and I'll tell you if I get it. I'm like, that's fair.
And you continued.
Yes, well, I mean, I didn't want her to think it was a weird thing or abnormal or something you shouldn't talk about or something that's...
Yes, you should have. You should have made her think it was abnormal and weird. Here's what's so funny that you're saying this, because I have recently been talking about this exact thing, because it reminds me of how in the pandemic, I'm only telling my four-year-olds that they're on spring break. That's the only thing they know is that they're on spring break. Because
what about the masks?
Well, we're not going anywhere. And sometimes they see masks when we're in the yard and people walk by, but they haven't asked. I think, and it reminds me of when people, when parents give their kids sex talks, because I always picture the kid is in their room just hanging out, innocently playing, and a parent decides, well, it's time for you to know. The barge is in the door. Starts telling the most horrible stuff to the kid, and then the kid is left with their jaw agape. And then the parent walks out, that went well, you know. And it's terrifying.
That is terrifying. But also what you're going to learn once the boys get a little older is whatever you tell them, they go to school and they tell their friends and then those kids tell their parents. So then you have parents like, oh, why did you tell your daughter that everybody has sex? It's like, oh.
And then you say, you do your thing, I'll do mine.
Click. Oh, we don't even click. This is like an old school. I just made an old school motion. Like
you revealed that you are over 20.
Then we had telephones where you could actually hang up on somebody dramatically.
No.
Even the flip phones. Remember the flip phones?
Of course. I think about them all the time.
And it was a dramatic hang up on somebody where you're like, just flip. Forget it. Flip it down.
Flip, click.
Now we don't have that anymore.
Flick of the wrist, click.
Click.
Yeah.
Okay, listen, Tig. People really have things to do.
All right. Well, should we do it again?
Yes.
Let's do it again.
Let's do it again, Tig. Join us next week when we talk about Tiger King, and we have a very special guest, my friend, the director, producer, Eric Good.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.